Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Today I have the privilege of opening up the scriptures to you, and I never want to take any of those moments for granted. And I love the Word of God. It's a part of my daily life. I love delving into it. I love diving into the things that God has in it for me. And every time I walk away, just a little more provoked and a little more challenged. And today I'm actually going to share a message with you that God started to do a work in me back in December and over the January period, where He started to really press into a space that was quite challenging and confronting. And so at Christmas, over the December time, I went back and spent Christmas Day with my family and was able to spend a little bit of time with my nephews and nieces. And I love my nephews and nieces. They are like my own pride possession. Like I know that they don't belong to me, but they like belong to me. They are just such the joy of my life. I have two nieces and I have five nephews. And each of them goes through their own kind of like quirks and interests and things like that. You know, everything from Thomas the Tank Engine through to, you know, motorbikes and trucks to Barbies. And well, I didn't do so well with the Barbie thing. But they all have their own interests. And my nephew, he came to me and he was 13 at the time. He came to me and he said to me, "Hey, Auntie Ray, I started a YouTube channel." And I was like, "Did you?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Guess how many subscribers I've got?" And I was like, "I have no idea." And he's like, "71. And I was like, "Awesome." He's like, "Will you follow me, Auntie Ray?" I was like, "Yeah, sure. Hit me up." And so he opens up his YouTube page. For at least the next 2 hours, he continued to bore me with the details of how he plays Minecraft and actually tells you what he's doing and how he's doing it. Now, Minecraft is boring in general if you're an adult, okay? But with a kid telling you what they're doing through the process of it, and I was like, "Wow, how long have you been doing this for?" He's like, "I just started." And I'm like, "Awesome." And now, I don't know if any of you are familiar with Minecraft, but it is a mindless game. And I cannot tell you how bored I was watching my nephew excitingly tell me about this YouTube channel that he started with Minecraft. I was like, "Wow, good luck." And I subscribed. And just this Christmas gone, my nephew's 15 at this point. And he comes up to me and he says, "Auntie Ree," he goes, "are you following me?" And I was like, yeah, I'm following you. And he's like, "Well, what was my last video about?" And I was like, "Oh." And then he turns and he goes, "Well, I guess you weren't following me at all." And I was like, "Oh." And the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And he said, "Cherie, you've subscribed to me as a believer, as a follower. But are you following me?" And he said to me, "Cherie, there are many in the church who call themselves followers. But if I was to ask the question, are you following me? And what was the last thing I said?" It would be years ago, or weeks ago, or hours ago. And it hit me to the core. And I was like, "God, forgive me. I don't want to live this way. I want to live as a follower of Jesus, not as a subscriber." And I want to suggest to us today that maybe we're here today and we've found ourselves as subscribers to the things of God. We once said yes, but the question today is, are you following me? The question from Jesus today for us is, are you following me? I put it to you like this. In Matthew chapter 7, It is the finishing of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5 and 6 talks, Jesus has amazing teachings and he has these conversations with all the people that are listening, the crowds that are gathering, and he talks to them about the kingdom of God. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 28, it says that they were, the scribes and the writers were all surprised at the incredible teaching that Jesus had with the authority that he had. If you read it with me, it says this. It says, when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were absolutely astonished at his teachings, for his teaching with one who had authority, not as their scribes. And the interesting thing about this that captured my attention was that Jesus was teaching with such authority at this point that he attracted the multitudes. Chapter 8 and verse 1 of Matthew chapter 8, it says that the crowds came down the mountain and followed him. They heard teaching that would amaze them. And in the process of their teaching, of Jesus' teaching, they decided that they would follow him. They follow him down the mountain into places in Matthew chapter 8 and 9, you will find, if you go home and read for yourself, it goes from being authority taught to being authority displayed. And in these passages of scripture, Jesus actually begins to unpack the authority that he was speaking of in a practical illustration. And the beauty of this was, I started to see through this passage that there was a distinct difference between the crowd and those who were called. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 will be up on the screen, and it says this, and he called to him 12 disciples, and he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Now fast forward a little bit, Jesus dies, rose again, comes back, and he says to the disciples, I have all authority, therefore go and make disciples. Speaking of which, to reproduce after their own kind. So you and I are what we consider today as disciples, followers of Jesus. But the question for us today is, are we actually following him as called ones, or are we following him as a part of the crowd? Because the distinct difference is the crowd had proximity to Jesus. They watched him and they heard him and they were wowed by him, but it was the 12 that were called that had intimacy with him. Yeah. I want to suggest to you today that the crowd have proximity, but the crowd doesn't actually have intimacy with him. See, proximity doesn't actually lead to intimacy. Yeah. Proximity often leads to familiarity. Come on now. We become familiar with the things of God. I know the songs. I know the moment they're going to take communion. I know the moment when the service is wrapping up. And we start to get familiar. But the crowd, the called, have intimacy with Jesus. And this is a distinct difference. See, intimacy leads to identity, and identity leads to kingdom authority. See, when Jesus said to the disciples, he called them unto himself and he gave them authority over unclean spirits and cast them out to heal every disease and every affliction. And in this, Jesus is literally revealing to them the authority that they have because of whose they are. They know their identity. See, I want to suggest to us that some of us today have chosen to slip into this slipstream of consumer-driven church, consumer-driven Christianity. We become a part of the crowd and we just check in and check out of church. And we've done our religious duty. And then there are some of us who fit in the category of a part of the called where we're like, I can't get enough of Jesus. It's not enough for me just to come to a service. He's a part of my everyday life. He's a part of my waking and my daily walks with him. And there's everyone in between. But I believe that God is asking us today, are we following him? Have we subscribed to his teachings and to the patterns of religiosity by coming to church? Or are we following him? See, later in Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus has the conversation with the disciples, he actually takes them from being called and says, now I'm about to send you out. And he says to them this, in Matthew chapter 10, verses 7 to 8, it says, proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. This is our job description. And the Lord provoked me at the start of the year and he said, when was the last time that you did these things? Oh. Now, can I just make a suggestion? That most of us actually get stuck at preach the gospel. Just saying. Not preach the gospel from a platform. I mean preach the gospel in our everyday world, in our everyday life with people we love and know. Most of us get stuck there. But the Lord brought me to the point in which he challenged me and said, Cherie, when was the last time you raised somebody from the dead? Oh. I was like, Lord, I know you can do it. I believe you can do it. And then Pastor Corey preached a message on how to raise the dead on Easter, spun all our heads off and was like, oh, what? Hang on. And that message, I sat in under it and I was like, God, I know you can and I know it's coming. I know that it's coming. Now, some of you are sitting here going, oh, I'll believe it when I see it. All fair and well. But did you know that that's actually a part of the job description of being a follower of Jesus? And we've settled for Christianity, have come to church, check in and check out, and maybe take our kids in and check them in and check them out. But God actually says that this is the PD, this is the job description for every believer. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Now, some of us rattle and roll around on the ground and the idea of even casting out demons. But I tell you what, God is good for it. He is so good for it. Let me explain this to you. We actually, sitting here today, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, get ready, because at the end you'll get the opportunity to know him and he'll change your life. But most of us here today know Jesus. Yeah. It's crazy to think that we shudder at the idea of raising people from the dead. But Jesus himself died on a cross and was risen again, and that's what you and I believe. Resurrection is actually pivotal and crucial and central to our belief. So the fact that we can believe that Jesus rose from the dead, conquering sin, death, and the grave, but we struggle with the idea that he could raise the dead, is a total conflict. Because the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives in you and I. He put us on mission and said, go make disciples, which actually means that we are to go and do exactly this. Preach the gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. Confronting, right? I started the start of the year and I was like, God, I get this. I've got my own tensions and because of my own disappointments, my own experiences, just like you. And the challenge is so real to us. But he said to me, Cherie, the crowd recognize and observe kingdom authority. He said, but the called have and display kingdom authority. The called have and display kingdom authority. If you've got a Bible with me, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I want to read this to you because I feel like this is going to liberate some people here today. It says this. When I came to you, brothers, Paul, I did not come to you proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or with wisdom. Everyone take a deep breath right now. Breathe out. Sigh of relief. You don't have to have it all worked out. You don't have to have lofty speech. You don't have to have the wisdom. You simply are to proclaim the testimony of the goodness of God. And then he says, for I decided to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. Hello. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not with plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is who we serve. This is our PD. We are not called to walk according to any other ideology. We are called to walk according to the pattern of heaven and the resurrected King Jesus. He is our master. He is the one we are following. And if you follow him as the ultimate teacher, you walk so close with him that the dust comes up onto your face. And this is what it means to follow him. See, as I sat in this, I was like, God, I see what you're trying to say here, and I need you to do a work in me, because I don't want to simply recognize and observe it in other people. I actually want to have it, and I want to display it in Jesus' name. It means we have to get uncomfortable. And like I said, most of us get stuck at preach the gospel. But God actually wants to do so much more through us. And we limit to it this idea of just preach the gospel. And what God actually wants to do is to bring dead things to life. He wants to heal broken bodies. And he wants to do it through you. He wants to do it through me. See, here's some of the distinctions that I started to see as God unpacked this passage with me between Matthew chapter 8 and 9 and 10, where he actually gives the instruction of, hey, this is the pattern. This is the PD. He goes after from proclaiming with authority to displaying with authority. And these are the things I see, the distinctions. See, the crowd were seeking the wonders that Jesus did. The crowd came down the mountain and were like, what's he doing? And they came to observe. But the called, they come and they do the wonders that Jesus did. When Jesus sent them out in Matthew chapter 10, they went out and did the things that they saw and heard Jesus do. Can I suggest to you, the disciples can do it in one day, so can you. You don't need a theological degree. You don't need an inauguration, ordination, whatever it is. You simply just need to know whose you are and who you are. Further distinctions. Jesus has this encounter with the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through to 13, where he comes to the centurion, or the centurion comes to him and says, my servant is sick. And Jesus says, well, let's go. I'll come and I'll heal him. The centurion says, no, don't. I'm a man under authority. I understand what it is to say to this one, go and do, and they'll do it. You say, and it shall be done. And Jesus turns to this man and to the crowd watching, and he says to them, I have not seen faith like this anywhere. And he actually says that in the scripture in verse 10, it says that Jesus marveled at his faith. Yeah. See, the crowd marvel at the works that Jesus did, but the called actually caused Jesus to marvel. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Oh, mate. I so want my life to be a life of a reflection of heaven. I want my life to cause Jesus to marvel from heaven, that so much so that, like Stephen, when he was stoned, that Jesus stood up from his throne and looked down and caused Jesus to marvel at his faith. That's what I want. I don't want to live a mediocre life. Do you know that Jesus never stood at any other time from the throne? It was at that moment that Stephen's life was taken from him and he was stoned, that Jesus actually stood. It says he stood. Oh, I want my faith to cause Jesus to marvel. I want my faith and my life to cause the attention of heaven to come upon it. This is the other things I picked up. A few distinctions. The crowd follows for benefits, but the called count the cost. Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 to 22, Jesus unpacks this and says there's a cost to following me. Can I suggest, if you haven't read this in the last 24 hours, go back and have a read of Matthew chapter 8 and Matthew chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 10, because it'll unpack everything. All the fears you're worried about, all the things that he can do, and all the things he'll empower you to do. The crowd want to be with the popular. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through to 13, Jesus is hanging out with the tax collector Matthew, and the Pharisees chuck up a stink, right? The Pharisees are like, why are you hanging out with these sinners and these ones? See, the crowd are like, no, we go for the popular, but the called want to be with the unpopular. And so when Jesus went to the house of a sinner, it was something that no one else was willing to do. The crowd want to be with the popular. The core want to be with the unpopular. The crowd wants Jesus to perform, whereas the core want his presence, just one touch. You remember the story, Matthew chapter 9, the woman with the issue of blood? She comes to Jesus, and it's actually the crowd that prevent her from getting through to Jesus. And she presses in, and she's like, if I can just touch him, just one touch, everything changes. And in that moment, she touched the hem of his garment and she was healed. The crowd wants Jesus to perform miracles. The crowd was so busy, they were walking around watching Jesus perform, that they were actually preventing those who needed to get through to see Jesus from being with him. The crowd listened to the gospel. The called preached the gospel. The crowd listened to the gospel, but the called preach the gospel. The very thing that the disciples did once Jesus called them was say to them to go out, and he sent them out. Proclaim the kingdom, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. The crowd observed prayer. The called pray earnest prayers. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, just before it rolls into Matthew chapter 10, Jesus has a conversation with the disciples. He's been teaching in villages around the area. And Jesus says this to them. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. That's John. Sorry, it's a bad book. Matthew chapter 9. And it says this. And Jesus went through all the villages, teaching in the synagogue and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing the sick and every disease and every affliction. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were harassed people, helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field." Prayed earnestly. Do you realize that they were actually praying for themselves without even realizing it? Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful. I need you to all pray. Pray earnestly for the Lord to send out laborers." The next preceding chapter, Jesus literally says, "I'm calling you unto myself and I'm sending you out." Oh dear. What truths we're confronted with. The crowd believe, but the called are bold. So the crowd are actually held back by fear of what people think. Whereas the called are bold and they believe. And they don't care what others think because they understand their identity and they understand kingdom authority. Turn with me to John chapter 12, verses 42 to 43. I love this because this is what speaks of where the hearts are really at. John chapter 12, verse 42 to 43, and it says this, "Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, for fear of man, they did not confess it, so they would not be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God." Man, I'm telling you, as God was taking me through these passages and he was showing me one thing after another and after another, I was just like, oh God, oh Lord, this hits so hard. Because I'm just like you, and there are moments in my life where I've allowed the fear of men to prevent me from doing something, from saying something, jumping into a situation. But I don't want to be held back by fear. I don't want to be held back by what other people think. I want to walk with my, worthy of the calling. I want to walk where my faith causes Jesus to marvel and for people's lives to be changed as a direct result. See, this is the thing. Many of us get stuck on this because we think that, you know, maybe it was just for the elite few. Jesus was speaking to the specific 12. But when he gave the command to us to go and make disciples, it means that we're reproducing after our own kind, which means that which is given to them has been given to us. And in John chapter 14, verses 12 through to 17, Jesus actually has this conversation with the disciples. Many of you are familiar with it. He says, greater things than these will you do. Jesus raised four people from the dead in the Gospels. I'm yet to raise one, but I'm believing for the day. Jesus cast out multiple demons. Cast out a few, but I'm not quite there yet. Jesus and his disciples, they preached the gospel wherever they went, and people's lives were changed and converted. And I'm trying. I'm having a good crack at it. And like many of you here today, we're having a go. But when was the last time we did these things? Because today I feel like it tells us we're either subscribers to what once was, but we don't know what is, and we're not following. It goes on and says in John chapter 14, verse 15, it says this, after Jesus has said, let me just read it to you because it's important. Verse 12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Do you believe in Jesus? Great. And greater works than these shall he do, because I am going to the Father. Jesus hasn't returned. We haven't been raptured yet, which means this is still available to you and I. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. We have confidence in knowing that he is who he says he is, and greater things than these shall we do. And he says this, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, for whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. If you love me, you will follow my commands. The Great Commission is not an idea. It's not optional. It is what we are called to do as followers of Jesus. It is not enough for Jesus to save us, heal us, redeem us, and that be our ticket home to heaven. We are called to be on mission, which means we're a church that does not have a missions department that just does mission evangelism. We're a church on mission, which means each and every single one of us has a responsibility to carry this good news and to preach and to share. The if you love me part of this verse 15 gets me, because I looked it up. And it actually means agapo, agapeo, and it's a verb, which means, for all the teachers, it's a doing word. I got my education. But the actual Greek word means to dearly love. Can I suggest this to you? The crowd actually loved Jesus. The crowd loved Jesus, but the called are in love with Jesus. There's an invitation for each and every single one of us to come out from amongst the crowd and come into the called. To come out from just loving him to being in love with him. You remember the moment that you first met your spouse? I've got a few people in my world right now that are just, they're in love. They are infatuatedly in love. And when you're in love with somebody, everything's different. But you know, it's possible for that love to fade out and be like, yeah, I love them, but unless you're intentional with it, and staying in love with them, you can miss it. You can miss it. The called are in love with Jesus. Oh, there's a difference. There's a distinct difference. You know, I started this with a story of my nephew. And I had to come back and have a conversation with my nephew. And I had to apologize. I had to say to him, I'm really sorry, mate. Auntie Ree had subscribed, but she hasn't been watching your every move. And she hasn't been watching your videos. Now, everything in that moment, me, I wanted to be like, hey, but Auntie Ree's really busy and she works really, really hard and she watches lots and she's doing, she's got so much stuff going, she doesn't have time. Like, but God was like, no, don't justify. Don't justify it. And there may be justifiable reasons. Just tell him you're sorry. Some of us today need to take that moment with the Lord and come before him, and we need to apologize. Lord, I'm sorry that I haven't been on your mission. I'm sorry, Lord, that I haven't had my job description in the forefront of my mind. And some of us actually need just to posture ourselves and say, Lord, would you shape me and mold me and take me? Now, we're all on a journey. And if you get to raise someone from the dead before me, please ring me. Please ring me, because I'm waiting for the day. Because my eyes are wide open, because I'm on mission. And you know, the thing I learned was this. When Jesus called the disciples, he called them to himself. He gives them kingdom authority and he sends them out to bring heaven to earth. And what's actually required of us today is that we would repent, that we'd respond to his call, that we'd receive the kingdom authority that he gave to us, and that we'd be redeployed and that we'd get up and go. See, most of us put it on and be like, well, Jesus was anointed. Huh? Well, actually, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says that you are anointed, that he abides in you. You have the anointing. Ha. Whoo. And the more you spend time with him, the more that increases. The more you spend time with him, the more that increases. Now, you know, the real simple truth of it is like this, church. How do you live called? Because that's the question right now. We know we want to, but how do you live called? Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 25 tells us that we are to walk by the Spirit. We are to live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. And so wherever he's going, I'm going. And that's his call to us today. That we'd live as called ones. That we'd lean into these spaces of tension and uncomfortable moments and walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, and live by the Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.